June had asked me to bring a message on diet. Something near and dear to everyone's heart, you know. We're supposed to come and dine, but we have to do it in the right way. Jesus had bread and fish upon the fire, but those are pretty good things. Okay. So the title of my message today is Lay Aside Every Weight. So we know where this verse comes from. It comes from Hebrews 12:1, which says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." So notice, first of all, that Paul uses the phrase, "let us." He's including himself. And he said, "let." This is a choice. It's not a command. We're given a choice as to whether or not to run for the prize. But in order to win, there are some things that we must be willing to do. And the first choice that he gives us is to lay aside every weight. Now I'm going to discuss this both from the spiritual and the physical aspect of doing that, because our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So a successful runner has to strip themselves of or down to just lightweight clothing and lightweight shoes, and he can't carry or wear anything that will weigh him down. And he also must strip himself of excess body weight. So that means he has to deny himself a few things, such as sugar-laden, high-carbohydrate, processed foods that taste good but have no nutritional value. And I don't have to tell you what those things are. I think you probably know what those things are. Now, what does this mean to us spiritually? It means that we have to feed on the pure, unadulterated Word of God, the Word of His grace, that is able to build us up and to strengthen us. Legality weighs us down. The law is a heavy burden that weighs us down. Grace sets us free so that we can run the race. So we have to lay aside legality. But in addition to that, we have to be careful to avoid spiritual obesity. What's that? Well, this happens to us if we yield to the desires of the flesh and we allow our old nature, our old man, the flesh, to have whatever he desires. If it looks good, eat it. If it looks good, do it. Or the saying used to be, if it feels good, do it. If we let our souls feed upon the things of the world, the things that please the flesh, instead of feeding on the spiritual things like we've been hearing about today, then we're going to soon become spiritually weighted down with fat, spiritual fat, and become sluggish and lose our desire or even our ability to run. We let our eyes become focused on our possessions and the pleasures of this world instead of upon Christ. Now, Paul gives us the remedy for this with his advice in Colossians 3:2. I'm not going to turn and read all these, because that will save us a little time, but you can write these down. It says, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Well, what about physical obesity? Laying aside every weight in the natural is what a lot of people in America desire to do, or want to do, try to do, especially at the first of the year or after any holiday when we tend to overindulge if we want to lay aside that weight. But accomplishing that is not so easy. It's not a simple task. There's all kinds of fad diets and weight loss plans that seem to work for a little while when you follow them, but they all eventually fail. Why? Well, because of Matthew 26:41, which says, the spirit is willing, we want to, even Paul says, that which I want to do, I don't, can't do. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Our old nature does not like to be told what it can do or cannot do. That's the problem with legality. It's the problem with the law. We're not able to keep it. Our flesh, our old nature, rebels. In fact, the first sin that was ever committed in the Bible, or recorded in the Bible that was committed, was regarding food. Satan tempted Eve to cause her to doubt God's word. And so then Eve wanted to eat something that she was told not to eat. You ever have that feeling? Somebody tells you, don't do it. That's what you want to do. And the longer she looked on the fruit of that tree, the more she wanted it, the more she desired it. And so I thought, well, maybe the Surgeon General hadn't yet had time to put up a sign on the tree of knowledge of good and evil that said, that would warn her that eating of the fruit could be hazardous to her health or even lead to death. Don't think those signs work. So in order to lose weight, your goal should not be weight loss. If it is, you're going to fail. Your goal needs to be to improve your health. So how do you do that? You're going to improve your health, you have to eat healthy food, not junk food. We've kind of already heard a sermon on that, and it's true, physically and spiritually. So what's junk food? Well, high sugar, high fat, high salt foods, all those processed foods that are on the market, and they're unhealthy because they've had the good things, such as fiber, removed, and then the unhealthy fats and sugars and salts and chemicals have been added to make them appeal to the desires of the flesh. Now, to be spiritually, this is true spiritually. To be spiritually healthy, we have to feed upon the truth of God's word, to which nothing has been added and nothing has been taken away. We know that God's word is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and his word provides everything that's needed to nourish and strengthen the new man. But sadly, over the years, people have tried to update the Bible by writing these new versions that no longer are able to bring life or support the growth and health of the believer, health of the new man. So there are a lot of versions out there that are not healthy for you spiritually. Now, I'm going to just give a couple examples of these, but there are many examples. I Googled some of these on Facebook to, or online to find out what some of the differences are. So I picked out a couple. For example, the King James Version in Luke 4:4 states, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Well, what does it say in the RSV? The RSV says, "Man shall not live by bread alone," period. It leaves off "by every word of God." It leaves that off. So when you leave things out of the word of God, it also becomes unhealthy for us spiritually. Just like when they take things out, well, by processing food, they take things out that are healthy. And Satan, of course, tries to do this because he doesn't want us to be strong spiritually. Okay, and then there's another one in Colossians 1:14. King James says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood." Well, the RSV leaves out that last portion that says, "through his blood." It just says, "in whom we have redemption." But there can be no redemption without the blood of Jesus Christ. It leaves that out. If you don't have the blood of Jesus Christ, you cannot be saved. Without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sins. So beware of what version you may be reading. If you use another version, use it as a comparison to what you're reading from, say, the King James. I love the King James. Okay, in Revelation 22:18-19, we find a rather stern warning about leaving things out or adding things to the Word of God, perverting those who pervert the Scripture. And it says, and that was Revelation 22:18-19, if this is just part of it, "If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life." So, why? It destroys our physical, our spiritual health when we take things away and add things to God's word. It no longer is a word of life when we do that. There's a good example in the Word of God in 1 Peter 2:2 regarding the pureness of the Word of God. And Peter says in that verse, he's comparing God's Word to breast milk. So it says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." This is referring to breast milk, because breast milk is a complete and perfect food to support the rapid growth and development of a newborn baby's brain and their body and their immune system. No supplements are needed. If you take formula, then they've had to add sugars and they've had to add fats and then they add all other things and vitamins and stuff. It's not a pure food, but breast milk is. And so there's no supplements that need to be added to breast milk. God provides everything in that. And this means something to us spiritually. If God's word is sincere, that means unadulterated. That's what that word means. Sincere, unadulterated. Nothing added, nothing taken away. Then it's going to provide exactly what we need to support our spiritual growth and our health in every phase of our physical, our spiritual life, as we feed upon it. We not only is there the milk of the word which we need, But there's the meat of the word and the life-giving bread, the bread from heaven. It provides everything we need as long as we don't adulterate it. Okay, the food that was consumed in Bible times was unprocessed. Everything that God put in it was still in it. And no chemicals or other things were added. That's because nothing was taken away. There was no need to add anything else. It was healthy food. So I thought about that, and I thought, well, God didn't tell the Israelites in the wilderness, I will rain down enriched manna from heaven with sodium propionate added to retard spoilage over the Sabbath. And also he didn't say, I will lead you into a land flowing with milk and honey. I will lead you into a land flowing with pasteurized, homogenized, vitamin D, irradiated milk, and fortified honey. Why? Because everything they needed was in it. Everything was provided. We laugh at that, but we can apply that spiritually when we talk about the Word of God. So that's true, though, physically for us. In order to be healthy physically, we have to eat healthy food, as I said earlier. Well, eating healthy in the natural follows the same basic principles as eating healthy in the spiritual. And there are several health guidelines, basic guidelines that are given us in the scripture to follow. And one important one is portion control. Say, that's in the Bible? It is. It's in Proverbs 23:2, which says, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Well, let's look at what this means spiritually. We put a knife to our throat. Well, what is obesity in the natural? It's the result of too much flesh accumulation in our physical body. This is true spiritually. Too much of the flesh. We've allowed the flesh to have its way. We've allowed the flesh to accumulate. You allowed the flesh to have whatever it wanted. And so we have too much flesh in our spiritual man. And how do we, this says, put a knife to your throat. Well, the Word of God is our weapon against spiritual obesity. And it can be our help in physical obesity too. It's the Word of God is our weapon, our sword, our knife against the desires of the flesh. Must apply the Word of God to our life, physically and spiritually. Remember, this is the temple of God. He gave us this body, and we are to take care of it. And we have a difficult time doing that on our own. In fact, we can't, not without the help of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. We can't live by bread alone, especially if it's white bread. That stuff that comes in a loaf that's had sodium propionate added to retard spoilage. But we must feed on the Word of God, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Okay, so as I said before, the flesh is never satisfied. We have to bring our body and the appetites of the flesh under the subjection of the Holy Spirit. And Paul tells us this in 1 Corinthians 9:25 and verse 27. And Paul is speaking this regarding himself, but he's also speaking it to us. It says, and every man that striveth for the mastery, that is, for the prize. Are you striving for the prize? Are you striving for the mastery? Or are you just running or jogging along a little bit? Or maybe just walking or crawling? But if you're striving for the mastery, he says, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Temperate means controlled. Temperate in all things. And then he says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. We must make our body serve us. We do not have to serve our physical body. We do not have to serve the flesh. We have the power to overcome the flesh because God, Jesus did that for us on the cross. We became a new creation in Christ. We need to feed the new man with the right kind of food. And we need to feed this physical body with the right kind of food. So we have the ability through the power of the Holy Spirit to bring our body under subjection if we're going to run to win the prize. Well, Solomon even warned us about overeating honey. We say honey is a natural thing. There's nothing added, nothing take away. But it's a natural sweetener that has no fiber in it. And so he warns us not to overeat it. And this is in Proverbs 25:16. He says, hast thou found honey? Eat so much as it is sufficient for thee. Don't overindulge. What's going to happen if you overindulge? He says, lest thou be filled with it and vomit it. Like kids overeating Halloween candy, yeah, and becoming sick. Or maybe sometimes us if we tend to overindulge. But so you can get too much of a good thing, too. We're talking here, remember, about portion control. So we eat what is sufficient for us. Now, what that can mean to us spiritually also is that, yes, there are our favorite verses in the Bible that we just love to read, but we don't necessarily grow by them. We need the whole Word of God. We need that part of the Word of God that is also responsible for our correction and for our growth, not just to satisfy us and make us have a few pleasant dreams that night. We need more than just the honey of the Word of God. We need that bitterness that comes when the Word of God is assimilated into our lives. We need the trials and tests that come along with it as it reprimands us and causes us to grow in Christ. So why did Solomon give this warning to us? What's the physical meaning behind this? Well, honey is a natural sweetener, as I said, but there's no fiber, so it's very quickly absorbed. Any diabetic will tell you that it will raise their sugar very quickly. So concentrated sugars in any form, including alcohol. Alcohol is a sugar. And these things, because they quickly raise your sugar level, affect the pleasure center in the brain. And that releases dopamine. And dopamine is a feel-good neurotransmitter. And that can actually make you feel high. You can get high on sweets, especially if those things are eaten in large quantities. But it's not just the sweets; it's any quickly absorbed carbohydrate. So when that happens, when you get this high feeling because you're eating too many of the sweets, then that causes your body to crave more of it, to literally crave more of it, and it becomes similar to an addiction to opioids. So the more sugar you eat, the more you want. The more potato chips you eat, the more you want. They turn quickly to sugar because there's no fiber, no, and just a lot of fat and salt. Well, sugar, what does sugar do besides that in your body? Well, it triggers the release of insulin. And insulin happens to be the body's fat storage hormone. So the more sugar you eat, the more insulin you produce, and the more fat you store. You can't lose weight that way. So that results in weight gain from fat storage because of the sugar and the quickly absorbed carbohydrates. So that includes all high carbohydrate foods that have been robbed of their fiber by processing, or high carbohydrate foods that don't have any fibers, like honey. There are other things such as white flour, white rice, fruit juice, applesauce even. Those things are quickly metabolized to sugar. So instead of drinking the orange juice, eat the orange because it has all the fiber in it. And so your blood sugar rises very slowly and you don't get that fat storage from that, and you don't get that high from the rapid release of sugar. Okay, so then what do you do? Well, it doesn't mean that you can't eat bread. You have to replace those things with whole grains, like 100% whole wheat bread. Now, just because it says wheat bread means simply that it's made with flour. That's all it means. Made with wheat. Must be 100% whole grain wheat, whole wheat, and whole grain rice. Even barley that we had, I don't think that was whole grain barley. But if you were going to cook it yourself, you could buy the whole grain barley. So we can make those choices physically. Of course, we need to make those choices spiritually as well. Okay. Another health precaution that we find in Scripture is found in Leviticus 3, verses 16 and 17. And these verses are regarding the sweet savor offerings. Now, under the Mosaic law, all of the fat from the sweet savor offerings, from the animal sacrifices, was to be burned upon the altar, and none of it was to be eaten. None of it was to be eaten. Well, animal fat produces energy, but it doesn't build us up. It fills us up and fills us out, and it can lead to clogged arteries. Okay, so fat, just like sugar, is something that our flesh lusts for. Anybody here like bacon? No, just fat and salt. And that has absolutely no health benefits. It's all negative benefits to your body. So it's not something you should partake of on a regular basis. Only rarely should you do that. But the flesh loves it. The flesh loves it and craves it. Okay. Our body does require healthy fats, though. Okay, so eating the low-fat diet will not make you lose weight. Why? Because your body needs some energy, but it needs the healthy fats like olive oil or the oil found in fish and avocados. Even the meal offerings, if you read that in Leviticus, the meal offerings had oil added to them. So when they were eaten, they did get the oil with it, the healthy oils with it. Okay, so what does all this mean to us spiritually? There's the avoiding the saturated animal fat. If you eat meat, in other words, cut the fat off, because they ate meat in the Old Testament, but not the fat. So it's not just a health precaution, it has a spiritual meaning. So what's the spiritual meaning? Well, fat, if you were to burn it on the fire, burns very brightly. It can be used to produce heat, and it produces energy. So it speaks of fleshly zeal, our zeal, our desire to do things. We just want to do something for the Lord, but our desire, our zeal should be from the Lord. It needs to be given over to the Lord, not just to do things. Then it becomes legality. So then when we give our zeal over to the Lord and we burn the fat to the Lord and give it to Him, then He works through us to do His will. And it's through His power and His energy, the power of the Holy Spirit. So our works have to be energized by God and not self. So when you feel like you want to do something for the Lord, ask Him if it's His will. And He will show you. And He will sometimes change your mind, or He may say, yes, go ahead. This is my desire for you. So the zeal, or all the fat, belongs to the Lord. Now remember, we're talking about this physically as well as spiritually. These are physical examples, but they have spiritual meanings. So to summarize all this, if we follow the same principles, both physically and spiritually, these scriptural principles that I've just talked about, and we eat the unadulterated, unprocessed foods that nourish our body, and spiritually those that nourish our soul, then we can lay aside every weight and be able to run the race with patience and have the strength to stand against Satan.